Welcome back, everybody. And welcome if you're just joining us. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and I'm your host, Maggie Dawn. We've got some local and statewide news that has been breaking this week. Let's start in the political and election realm. I'm joined for this next segment by Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer. We've got a new Democratic entrant into the primary field in the 1st Congressional District. Who threw their hat in the ring today to run against potentially Brian Steele? And what's their background, Dan? Tell us about the candidate.
Yeah, so we have a new candidate jumping into the mix for the 1st Congressional District. His name is Mitchell Berman. He announced that he is a political newcomer, has not run for office at any level before, but he is a emergency nurse who has worked at the VA for quite some time. And, you know, he's really touting his experience there in, you know, essentially public service, working with families at the VA, and is looking to take on Brian Steele in what has been a fairly difficult district for Democrats in the past few election cycles. Now, he's not the first candidate to throw his hat into the ring here. Randy Bryce, who you may remember is a candidate who went viral running against the Iron Stash, who ran against Paul Ryan a number of years ago. He announced a candidacy several months ago, but his candidacy really has not picked up any kind of steam. Fundraising was very, very low per the last report. And so it seemed like, you know, we're headed towards a situation where we're going to see another candidate jump in. And now we have Mitchell Berman taking the plunge.
Yeah, I love candidates like Mr. Berman. Admittedly, in the interest of full transparency, I don't know the guy more than reading the press release and his background. But to me, this is the kind of candidate the Democrats should be looking out, nurturing, fostering, and getting out there. People that actually remind folks of their neighbors and their coworkers, you know, that are regular folks that speak like regular folks do, right? And actually work for a living as opposed to the carpet-bagging billionaire set that apparently seems to be the preferred candidate type of Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Tony Weed, Tim Michaels, Eric Hovde, et cetera, et cetera. Why has Randy Bryce's candidacy not caught on? Why was it nearly a certitude that there would be another Democratic primary candidate?
Yeah, it just didn't seem like it ever was ever going to gain any steam. And just once the fundraising report came out, I want to say it was like $25,000, which for this kind of report is not what you want to see. So once we saw that, it was like, all right, somebody else is obviously going to get in to this race. And I will say that Brian Steele has been a pretty formidable candidate in this district. You know, he won by a nearly 10-point margin last year in the November 2024 election, and he outran the top of the ticket pretty significantly. So he won by about a 10-point margin. Donald Trump won that district by about a 4-point margin. Eric Hovde by about a 3-point margin. So Steele's performance there was pretty strong, especially since the DCCC was putting money into that race to back the Democratic candidate Peter Barca, who frankly I don't think he ran a terrific campaign. And so it turned out that Steele won that one pretty significantly. And Steele has typically outrun the top of the ticket in the first congressional. He also did that in 2022 when he won by 9. Ron Johnson won that district by 4 points at the time. It was pretty close to a dead heat between Tony Evers and Tim Michaels. So, you know, there is a chance for this district to be flipped. But still, at the same time, the last time a Democrat has won that district through a statewide race was Barack Obama in 2008. And it's tough to compare a whole lot of statewide results to Barack Obama in 2008.
Yeah, Peter Barca was the last candidate in the last cycle in the first CD. I have always thought Mr. Barca is one of those sort of centrist, very likable, approachable, normal sorts of candidates that I think can have appeal. Here, I think the fact that Mr. Berman is new to politics, has not won an elected office before, but has been active locally. He actually filed suit in Racine County Court over an open meetings violation by the school. school district in Raymond, which I thought, like, someone actually understanding how open meetings laws work and filing suit, and that Raymond school board eventually admitted, yep, that was an open meetings violation. Good on Mr. Berman, because transparency is how we get to accountability in government. Quite interesting. Speaking of candidates, Dan, I wanted to get your take on Kelda Roy's basically telling Todd Alba this afternoon she's running for governor. I wasn't surprised at all, were you, Dan?
Yeah, you know, making some news on civic media. We love to see it. Any candidate who is looking to make some news on civic media, we'd love to have you. But yeah, I thought it was very interesting. Again, not particularly surprising. Her name has been on the short list of potential candidates for quite some time. Obviously, she ran in 2018. And I think she's had a pretty compelling run as state senator representing Madison. I believe she was elected in 2020 and reelected last year as well. But she has been on the Joint Finance Committee. And so it's one thing to, you know, take a run and, you know, just maybe kind of be in the wilderness in the years in between. But she's been doing the work and she's been doing some really strong work on the Joint Finance Committee. She's been a regular on the Todd Alba Show, joining and talking about budget updates over the last few months. And I think she would be on the short list of the formidable candidates. So, you know, Sarah Rodriguez jumped in, Milwaukee County Executive. David Crowley is going to jump in as well. No surprise to see Kelda Roy throw her name into the ring too.
You know, it all begs the question to me about how do Democrats from traditionally blue areas of the state bring independents and swing voters to the polls? How do they craft a message that isn't just speaking to the true blue believers, right, the progressives within the party, but really does speak to small business owners and working folks of all backgrounds across the state? That's really the challenge, whether you're talking about Kelda Roy's or that other maybe candidate from the far progressive left, Chris Larson, out of Milwaukee, also a state senator. So watch this space, folks. Also making news late yesterday was the veto by Governor Tony Evers on a bill that had been creeping along that many, including the national organization Common Cause, which is a nonpartisan government watchdog organization, said was basically a poll tax. Tell us about it, Dan.
Yeah, Common Cause released a statement about this, essentially applauding Tony Evers for vetoing what they called hyperpartisan legislation, and saying that it would have prevented people with felony convictions from regaining their constitutional right to vote until they have paid all fines, costs, fees, surcharges, and restitution. Saying that it amounts to a modern-day poll tax. I think there's, you know, a lot of really important conversations to be had about, like, regaining voting rights for people who have served their time, and having the opportunity to regain that right after leaving prison. And so I think this is a really smart veto by Governor Evers and one that is certainly needed, and to react to some of the most more outlandish things to keep people to deny people their right to vote.
Yeah, this is an area that I think deserves much more discussion and exploration. Lots of folks will talk about the justice system, specifically the criminal justice system. Very few people have actually spoken with someone who is incarcerated, unless you happen to know someone in your circle of friends or family who has been incarcerated or is presently incarcerated, to actually talk with them about how confinement in this country works. And the fact of the matter is that over the last 20 years, we have basically created a private prison industry in this country that has been incredibly lucrative. And there seems to be no end in sight. And whether you're talking about, pardoning 1,500 violent January 6 protesters, or actually taking a meaningful look at nonviolent low-level drug offenders, there needs to be deep conversations had about whether or not this is actually increasing the safety in our neighborhoods. And one of the things that I think is so important is to think very critically and not in a knee-jerk way about when is it appropriate for someone to regain their franchise, their right to vote. And in some countries and in some states, even when you're incarcerated, you still get to vote if you're a citizen. I think there's some really interesting questions about democracy and who loses the right to vote and who doesn't and how do you regain it. It's almost impossible in the state of Florida after you've been convicted of a crime to ever get your right to vote back. Republicans here, again, I call this a poll tax. Oh, it means that rich criminals, they get to vote. But if you don't have any money, yeah, you don't get to vote. Those things should not be how we're deciding whether or not folks get to vote or not.
Yeah, and as Common Cause notes in their release here, the state does not have a centralized database tracking the amount of an individual's financial obligation that must be met for reenfranchisement. So not only is this bill misguided on its merits, it's misguided in practicality because there's no way to actually track if people were to, you know, pay what they owe in order to regain their voting rights.
Conservative Bob on the text line saying that felons don't have rights while in prison. They shouldn't get to vote. You can take the position, Conservative Bob, that folks that are incarcerated for crimes, question Bob, all crimes don't get to vote. But it is absolutely untrue that folks that are incarcerated or convicted of felonies don't have rights. Trust me, I know. I litigated lots of prisoner litigation based on our fundamental civil rights as enshrined in the Constitution. Very briefly, about two-ish minutes left here, Dan. You've been going around the community here in southeastern Wisconsin looking at some of the flood damage and some of the continuing emergency remediation. What's our communities looking like here in southeastern Wisconsin 2 days after the big flood?
Yeah, I was spent some time in Germantown today where there was a neighborhood, a subdivision where people were encouraged to evacuate because of the rising flood waters in that community there. So there are a number of people who I think they had been put up at the Super 8 Motel there. It was an area kind of like right off the highway, just west of I-41, right at County Line Road there. So there were a number of, you know, just kind of chain restaurants that you would typically see open that time of day, busy that time of day, that were closed and had standing floodwaters in front of, you know, Panda Express and Burger King and Taco Bell there. And they had a fire engine that was actually blasting water down the street to get it closer to, you know, make its way back to the rivers and streams and take it out to the lake and all of that. So quite the scene, seeing water completely go across four lanes of traffic on a busy road.
Yeah, this is going to take some time and is likely going to be in the billions, likely in damage. Again, it ain't a 1,000-year flood. That's based on the old data, folks. It is a much more frequent occurrence, unfortunately. The question is, what are we going to do about it to help keep your family and mine safe? Thanks to you very much. That's Dan Schaefer, political editor here at the Civic Media Radio Network. When I come back, I'm going to share a little bright spot in the news. Did you know that one of our nation's oldest black churches owns the Proud Boys copyright and logo, and they're suing them over it? Ho-ho! That's coming up next. I'm going to share a little bright spot in today's news. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.